to the book of 2 Samuel today. 2 Samuel this morning. And you say, "Preacher, you done sold the one I want." Well, you let me know what you want and I'll make another order. And we can get those Bibles in just two or three days. And we'll get you one. Amen. They do make some other ones. I didn't order all that they had. They make a Cambridge. It's a copy to the Cambridge Cameo that Cambridge put out of print. It's just a text. Don't have no notes in it. It's just a text and a wide margin Bible, which is what I preach out of a lot. And they're a good quality Bible. 2 Samuel this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I really hope that you'll pray for us this morning as we preach, that God would help us and use us. And I sure got a lot I want to say this morning. And I hope the Lord will help us to recall the things that we've studied and help us to see what the Lord has. I hope He'll let you see what He showed me this week in studying. Amen. Can I say this? I love my Bible. Amen. And thank the Lord for my Bible this morning. I'm glad that I have a Bible, and I'm glad that I'm able to read my Bible. And you said, "Preacher, I'm not a good reader. What can I do?" Listen to your Bible. About everybody's got a mobile app now for the Bible, and it'll play. You can listen to it. Going up the road, man, turn the radio off and listen to the Word of God. And I do that a lot. I really do. And matter of fact, that's the way I got a lot of the thoughts that I'm going to preach this morning, was just from riding up the road. And I put earbuds in and listened to my Bible riding up the road. And I know you're probably not supposed to do that. You're probably supposed to just listen to it on speaker. But anyway, I love my Bible. Amen. Hey, if you don't have a desire to know more about your Bible, man, something's wrong. We ought to want to know more about the Word of God. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Our Father, in Jesus' name, as I come before You this morning, Lord, You know what lays heavy on my heart today. Lord, I've tried my best to apply myself to the study this week, and Father, to learn more about the Scriptures in which we're fixing to try to preach this morning. God, I pray over the next few minutes that You'd illuminate my mind, God, and that You'd preach me in power and unction of the Holy Ghost. God, I stand in a place where in the arm of the flesh I'll surely fail. Lord, there's no doubt about that. God, I don't say this arrogantly this morning. I say it in all humiliation. Lord, You called me to do this morning, and God, I can't do it by myself. I've got to have Your help. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd use me today and fill me with the Holy Ghost. I stand in a very serious place this morning. Father, it's a very sobering thought to thank God that I'm fixing to try to preach one message, but I need You to turn it into 200 this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd take the words and steal it in the hearts of the people today. No doubt about it, I'll get it to their ear this morning, but it'll take the Holy Ghost of God to find a lodging place deep down inside their soul. And I pray, God, that You'd do that today. God, help us to realize the seriousness of sin today. God, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." God, we know the end result is always death. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray it, and all God's youngins said, amen and amen. Let's remain standing for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to pick up in verse number 7 of chapter number 12 of 2 Samuel. Now, let me read the text, then I'll let you be seated and give me some time to lay the groundwork into where we're at in the Scripture. The Bible said this, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little," now think about this, "and if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things." God tells David, through Nathan speaking to him, "Whatever you wanted, David, I'd have give it to you." That's what he said. "I'd have give thee such and such things." He goes on to say in verse number 9, Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in thy sight, or in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. The Bible said in verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. Now look with me back in verse number 11. He said this, or back in verse number 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. I want to preach on this thought. Stay with me this morning. If you don't stay with me, you're not going to get the message. But I want to preach on this thought. God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. You can be seated this morning. When we come into this place in the Scripture today, we're reading about a man that, according to Matthew, and Matthew's account of this man, was a man after God's own heart. Matter of fact, there's nobody else in your Bible today that you can find that that is said about. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that loved God. David was a man that feared God. David was a man that was blessed by God. Matter of fact, again, I say there was no other man in the Bible that had that said about him, that they was a man after God's own heart. And what we read about here is there comes a day that David is supposed to go to the battlefield. If you go to chapter 11 and verse number 1, the Bible tells us this. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David tarried still in Jerusalem. David was supposed to be on the battlefield. He was the king of Israel and Judah, but David was not where he was supposed to be. Matter of fact, some of you have heard me preach the message, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's where David was at, because David was not on the battlefield. So what happens to David? Here's what happens briefly. David walks out on his rooftop at midday. He's laid in the bed all day, and he gets up and he walks outside and he goes up on his rooftop. When he gets on his rooftop, he sees a very beautiful woman the next roof over, and she is bathing. The Bible said that she was a very beautiful woman. And what did David do? David looked on her and began to lust after her. David comes back in and says to one of his servants, hey, go get that woman for me. And the servant says to David, is that not the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Who was Uriah the Hittite? Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. It was one of the men that David had in his army that was fighting for him, and that stayed with him through thick and thin. And David said, I don't care who it is, I want to be with her. So you know what happened? The servant went and got Bathsheba, and Bathsheba came in, and she lay with David. And whenever they lay together, she conceived and become pregnant with a child. And what does David do? When David hears about this, he calls Uriah in off the battlefield. This is all chapter number 11. Go home and read it. He calls Uriah in off the battlefield, and he tells Uriah, man, hey, how's the war going? Give me a report on the war. And Uriah says, everything's going fine. And he says, I tell you what, Uriah, before you go back to war, won't you go home and spend some time with your wife? You see, David's simply trying to cover his sin up. David's trying to make everything fine. David's trying to make it look like he had done nothing wrong. But you mark it down, honey. God will expose the truth. He always has, and He always will. You know what Uriah said? Uriah said, my Lord's on the battlefield, talking about Joab, and he says, I'm not going into my wife. So David makes Uriah drunk and still tries to get him to go home. But Uriah would not go
home and sleep with his wife. So now all the blame is coming back on David. David knows his sin is going to be exposed. And what does David do? David writes a note. And in that note, he tells Joab to set Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle. And whenever the battle begins to rage, to have all the men retreat from Uriah. So you know what ends up happening? Uriah ends up dying on the battlefield as a result of the sin of David. David is the man that has the blood of Uriah on his hands. It wasn't Joab. It wasn't the servant. But it was David himself that has Uriah killed. Now, I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me to see how far sin will make someone go. How far sin will make someone go. I wonder as David writes the note. Go home and read chapter 11. You can read everything I just told you. I wonder if David writes the note and he begins to think about having Uriah killed because David has him killed. I wonder as he's writing the note, if he's thinking in his mind, man, that short moment of pleasure really wasn't worth all of this. That short moment of pleasure, I really didn't think, Brother Chris, I can't help but wonder. In his mind, he was thinking, I really didn't think it would turn into all of this. I really didn't think I'd end up killing the man. Or because of the sin that I have committed. But that's where it took David. Now, listen to me and listen to me well. God didn't stop David from committing the sin that he did. You say, well, God can stop anybody from anything. You're right, because he's God. But God chooses not to. Why? Because it all goes back to Genesis chapter number 3. When God gave man a free will. Amen. He could have stopped Adam and Eve from taking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know what? Adam and Eve could have still been living. Death's part of the curse. They could have still been living. But God allowed man to choose himself, his own fate. Can I say something to you this morning? God will allow you, if you want to leave here today and go out and live a life of sin, then God will allow you to do that. God won't stop you from doing that. But if you're saved by the grace of God, when the judgment hand of God comes on you, you won't stop God. God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. Chapter 12 rolls around. Here's what happens in chapter 12. Nathan comes to him. It's not the first confrontation with Nathan he's had. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, 17, 18, 19 right through there. And you can see that Nathan and David's already talked before. Nathan the prophet comes to him, begins to talk to it. And Nathan gives him this parallel or this parable in the beginning of chapter number 12 about a little ewe lamb. David gets upset, and David, I'm not going to go into all that. David says this and this and this. And Nathan looks at him and says, David, you're the man. In other words, he says, David, you're guilty of sin. You're guilty of sin. Let me show you three things quickly by way of introduction about the man David. Number one, note with me in verse number 7. The Bible said, thou art the man, thus the Lord God of Israel. Look with me there in verse number 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel. Number one, I want you to note this quickly by way of introduction about David. I want you to note David's position. David was the king of Israel. Not only was he the king of Israel, if you look on down in your Bible in verse number 8, it was Israel and of Judah. David in his position was a very well respected man. David in his position was anointed by God. David in his position was a man after God's own heart that God was using. He was a man of God after God's own heart. That's important to remember. David loved God. Brother Chris, David was not a man living out on Skid Row. David was not the average drunk out on the street. David was not a dope head. David was not a cold, indifferent church member. But David was a man who loved God in his life. David's position. He was king over Israel. He was king over Judah. David could have had anything he wanted. Matter of fact, God said, I give you all of this. And if that wasn't enough, I'd give you such and such things. David's position. Not only do we see David's position, but note this with me. I want you to note David's protection. Look in the latter portion of verse number 7. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. What was Saul? Saul was the king before David. Chapter number 16 of 1 Samuel. David is anointed by Samuel as king. Chapter number 17 of 1 Samuel. David kills Goliath. The protecting hand of God on David's what we're talking about. David faces a giant that day. And what happens? Hey, God put His hand of protection over David that day. That giant would have killed David that day. He would have destroyed him. He would have devoured him. He would have ripped him in pieces. But God stood up that day with David and protected David that day. Oh, yeah. Roll on into David's life, leading up into 2 Samuel chapter 11. What else happens? Hey, David becomes king and Saul, or David begins to fight with Saul, and Saul gets upset because as they come back in, and Saul and David was on the same team, if you want to put it that way, and as they come back in, the Bible said this, as they marched down the streets, the people began to holler, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. What's going on? The hand of God is on David's life. What happens? Saul gets mad, seeks to kill David. David runs from Saul. And what happens? The protecting hand of God is on David. Saul could not kill David. Matter of fact, there was one time in a cave when David could have killed Saul. David cut the edge of his garment off as a token, saying, I could have had your life, Saul, but I didn't touch you because you was God's anointed, and I wasn't going to mess with you. There's a message in that. You better leave God's anointed alone. You say, who's God's anointed? His servants, His men that stand to proclaim His Word. You better leave them alone. David said, I'll not touch you. I'll not kill you. What happens is the protecting hand of God on David. We can look through the many battles that he goes through, and I'm not going to take time, Brother Chad, to preach all of them, but all the way up to chapter 11, what's happening? Hey, the protecting hand of God is on David. Matter of fact, whenever you think about it, you get over there about chapter number 6, chapter 4, 5, 6, right in there, 2 Samuel, and you know who's got the ark? David. You know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of the Holy Ghost. You know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to build a house for the ark of God. Amen. Hey, this is a man that's got God on him right here. Then you see his possessions. Look at this. In verse number 8. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Oh, think about this with me. The possessions of David. He's got everything he wants. He's got wives and he's got concubines. You say, what's concubines? In the Old Testament, it was girlfriends. And you say, I ain't got time to preach all the history and the trades of that day and how all that worked. But man, David has got everything he wants. There is absolutely nothing that David don't have. The best of everything, David's got it. He's got a touch of God on his life. He's got the protecting hand of God. God has abundantly poured His blessings out on David. But David, in chapter number 11, finds himself the wrong place at the wrong time. David commits adultery and fornication with Bathsheba and has Uriah killed. And it was nothing but trouble from chapter 11 on in David's life. All the way to the end of it. Oh yes, God still blessed him. Yeah, God still used him. God still used Bathsheba. But you know what? The sword never departed out of David's house. You see, you won't stop God. God won't stop you. Could God have stopped David that day? Absolutely. But He allowed David to have a free choice in what he was going to do. Can God stop you from sinning? Absolutely, He can. He is God. He can do whatever He wants to do. But He chooses to allow you to have a free choice in what you do. So in your free choice, you better beware. Because God won't stop you, but you won't stop God.
we see that God didn't stop David. Now, let's look and see how David didn't stop God. Number one this morning, God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. Can I just slow down a second and say this? This story scares me to death. The story of David and Bathsheba absolutely scares me to death. You say, oh, preacher, why does it scare you? David was a man of God. There's never been another man of God like David. Never will there ever be. There's nobody else said that there was a man after God's own heart. But what ends up happening? David falls a victim to sin. It don't matter how... Hey, look up in here. It don't matter how close we are to God. It don't matter how much we read our Bible. It don't matter how much we pray. It don't matter how much we fast. If we don't stay close to God, it'll destroy our life. Let's see what happens to David. Number one this morning, I want to note three things quickly. Number one this morning, I want you to note death happens in David's family. Note with me verse number 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. What is the sword in the Old Testament? It's death. It's what it represents. What was it that killed Uriah? It was the sword that killed Uriah. You know what he's saying right here? He's saying, hey David, death will never depart thy house because of the sin that you've committed, because of the things that you've done, because of the choice that you made, because you decided to let just a few moments of pleasure overrule my presence in your life. The sword and death will never leave your house. Well, what happens? Here's what happens if you read on in chapter number 12, Bathsheba's with the child. You know what ends up happening? Bathsheba has the child, and after Bathsheba has the child becomes sick. What does David do? David fasts and prays and begs God to spare the child's life. But you know what happens to David? And you know what happens to that baby? That baby dies because of the sin that David had committed. Can I just say something to you today? The chastening hand of God may come on your family and not you. It's a serious business this morning. The chastening hand of God may come on your child and not you. You see, it was David right here. It was David that sinned. It was Bathsheba that sinned. That little baby hadn't done nothing wrong. That little baby hadn't defiled God. That little baby hadn't murdered nobody. That little baby hadn't committed fornication or adultery. But it was that baby that died because of David's sin. Well, let's read on in the story. If we go into chapter number 13, you know what happens in chapter number 13? But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Amnon is the first son of David. Tamar is David's daughter. So that would make Amnon and Tamar brothers and sisters. Is that not right? Somebody holler amen. You know what happens in chapter number 13? Amnon looks on his own sister and he begins to lust after her and want his own sister. And you know what ends up happening to Tamar and to her coat of many colors? It's taken away from her. And Amnon rapes his own half-sister Tamar. It wasn't Amnon that was sin. It wasn't Tamar that had sinned. Tamar, I believe, was a good young lady. And y'all have heard me preach on Tamar that's been here very long. I believe she was a good young lady. And she tried to get away from Amnon. You know what it was? It was a result of David's sin. That's what it was a result of. What about this right here? Chapter 13. Chapter 13, look in verse 27. This is Absalom and Amnon. Who's Absalom? Absalom's the third son of David. Death will never depart from his house. Here's what happens. But Absalom presented him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. And Absalom had to command his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. The Bible said in verse 29, and the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. What about this? The baby dies. What about this? Amnon's raped. What about this? Or Tamar's raped. What about this? Now Amnon's killed by Absalom. David's son, David's third son, murders his first son. Murders his own brother. See, God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. What about this? Chapter 18. Let's just look. Let's just look right here. Chapter 18. Chapter 18. Absalom's turned against David. He's trying to overtake David's kingdom. Ahithophel led that, and I'll say more about Ahithophel in just a minute. He's a mastermind in all that rebellion right there, and I'll preach on that in just a second. Absalom, this is the son of David. Third son of David. Absalom's now rebelled against him, tried to overtake his kingdom. Absalom comes riding down the road on a mule. His hair gets him caught up in a tree. And you know what happens? Joab goes out there and finds him in that tree, puts three daggers through his heart, and kills him. Now, David's third son is dead. Brother D.C., his daughter's been raped. She might as well been dead. The quality of her life is gone. Now his first son is dead from his third son. Now his third son is dead. And you know who killed him? Joab. Who commanded that everybody leave the forefront of the hottest battle and leave Uriah standing there. It was Joab that made that command. Now Joab ends up killing David's own son. Listen to what David said in verse 33. Chapter 18. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate. Boy, it's serious business this morning. And wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." Now death's hit again. Absalom's dead. What about this? 1 Kings chapter 2. What about this right here? 1 Kings chapter 2. Let me read you another one. Now therefore, in verse number 24, if you want to look. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and hath made me in a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. You say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything?" Well, this Adonijah right here, you know who he is? He's the fourth son of David. That's who he is. You know who Solomon is? Solomon's the son of David and Bathsheba. You know who is next in line to receive the throne? Listen to me this morning. Sounds like Days of Our Lives, don't it? You know who is next in line to get the throne after Absalom's death? Adonijah. But you know what? Bathsheba was mad. So what did she do? She commanded that Solomon, David's own son, kill his other son so Solomon could have the throne. Had Adonijah done anything wrong? No. He just failed a result to the sin of his father. You see, God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. You say, "Preacher, did David get right?" Sure, he got right. He gets right in chapter number 12. He fasts and prays and gets his heart right with God. But you know what? The sin had already been committed and judgment had already been stated. You say, well, preacher, I'll go out and I'll do this and I'll do that, but I'll come running in and I'll get forgiveness for it. You're right. You may come running in and get the forgiveness for it, but the hand of God and the judgment of God will already be on your life. Well, there was death. What about this? Number two this morning. There was not only death, there was defiance. Look in verse number 11. The Bible said, thus saith the Lord, behold, and back in our text, 2 Samuel chapter 12, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. There was defiance. Defiance simply means this, a want to go to war or a calling out to war, and just to put it in layman's terms. You say, well, how is there defiance? What does Absalom do? Absalom turns against his father before his death, turns against his father and tries his best to overtake his kingdom. His own son tries his best to overtake his kingdom. See, there was defiance. He said, preacher, what does it do? Well, in about chapter 13 or chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, right through there, it causes a short civil war in Israel that day. Why? Because David thought 15 minutes of pleasure would be worth it. Are you hearing me preach today? He thought it'll be all right. Nobody will ever know about this. But God exposed the truth. And when He did, yeah, David got forgiveness, but David couldn't stop God. David could pray all he wanted to, but when the judgment hand of God fell, God wasn't going to pick that hand up until he was ready to pick that hand up. There was defiance. Number three, let me show you this and I'll be done. There was not only death, there was not only defiance, but there was defilement. The word defilement means this, pollution by sin. There was defilement. Go with me to chapter 16. Chapter 16. Now remember, God told David that he was going to rise this up, this mess up within his own house. That's where it all come from. Chapter 16, look at verse number 20. The Bible said, then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines. Listen to how sick this is. Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all of Israel. There's defilement that day. So preach what he's talking about. Absalom, the son of David, when David ain't paying attention, goes on the rooftop. That's interesting. Where was Bathsheba and David? On the rooftop. Goes on the rooftop, sets a tent up, and commits adultery and fornication with every one of David's concubines that day. Defilement. Defilement. Pollution by sin. You see, God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. What about Ahithophel? Who's all Ahithophel right there? If you study your Bible, you'll find out that Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. It's Bathsheba's grandpa. Who's Bathsheba? Bathsheba's the woman that David committed adultery with that caused all of this judgment to come. Stay with me. You study Ahithophel out, and you'll find out that Ahithophel was one of David's main counselors. Matter of fact, it was said of Ahithophel at one time that he had the Spirit of God, was able to discern right from wrong. Ahithophel was David's main go-to man. When David didn't know what to do, you know who he went to? He went to Ahithophel. Who led the rebellion against David when Absalom turned against him? Ahithophel. Ahithophel led the rebellion against David. Are you hearing me preach? Ahithophel did. The man that was probably David's closest friend, from everything I can study, was probably what we would consider today his bestest friend. But he leads this rebellion against David. Who told Absalom to sleep with his daddy's concubines? Ahithophel. After all of that rebellion, after Absalom had slept with those women, you know what Ahithophel does in the next chapter? He goes back home. He puts his house in order. And the Bible said he went out and hanged himself. Committed suicide. David's best friend that he probably ever had was the man that led all the rebellion against him. Can I remind you who he was? Bathsheba's grandpa. I really believe in all of my mind when every bit of that happened and it came out, you know who Uriah was? His grandson. Uriah was his grandson. He's a proud of Uriah. Uriah was a man of war. Uriah was a man that loved God. Uriah was a man that stood for what's right. No doubt Ahithophel was proud of Uriah. But David kills Uriah and then takes his wife, which was his granddaughter. There's no doubt in my mind when that happened, Ahithophel turned bitter towards the King David. And when he got accomplished what he wanted accomplished, what was it? Absalom sleeping with David's wife. The same thing that David done to his granddaughter. He went out and killed himself. Now, David's got 3 or 4 sons that's dead. Now the baby's dead. Now his best friend that he's ever had. He was David's counselor. Study him out. His best friend, Brother Tim, has now turned against him and led all this rebellion against him. His best friend sets it up for his concubines to sleep with his own son. How sick. His best friend does all that. And now, his best friend's dead. You see, church, God won't stop you. But you won't stop God. God won't stop you. But you won't stop God. You say, preacher, I'm just going to live in sin a little while and I'm just going to live it up a little while and then I'll get my heart right with God. You know what you may? But let's see what David says at the end of his life. Psalms 51, you don't have to turn. There's 7 confession psalms, and Psalms 51 is one of them. Here's what he says at the end of his life in verse number 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David said, the things that I've done wrong is still before me today. What about verse number 8? There was a sadness of his mind. In verse 3, there's the sickness of his body in verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. What about chapter 38, verse number 7? For my loins are filled with a lonesome disease. And there is no soundness in my flesh. What about this, verse number 11? He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, I find this interesting. Come start playing softly. You know what David was concerned about more than anything? Because of his sin. Are you still with me? I hope I've not lost you this morning in the soap opera of David's life. It's unreal. Scares me to death. Because David was a man after God's own heart. Blake, David was a man of God. This morning, he was a man that loved God and feared God. But he messed up. You say, preacher, I'll never mess up. You better watch what you say. In all this that David done, 10, 15 minutes worth of pleasure, the rest of his life full of disaster. Study it. I've studied it all week. His own best friend, Brother Randy, has now turned against him. His closest friend he ever had has now turned against him and led his son against him and tried to overtake his kingdom. God help. So what was David most concerned about? Here it is. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let me tell you what I believe David was more concerned about than anything. I believe we can see it right there in that verse. Being out of the presence of God. Sure, David's heart broke for his children. We see it. He cries out, would to God I'd have died instead of Absalom. But you know what David's more concerned about than anything? Being out of the presence of God. He said, Lord, please don't cast me out of thy presence. I'll tell you the reason people is not concerned with being cast out of the presence of God when they sin today. Because they've never been in the presence of God. Because they... Hey, look up in here. Because they've never been in the presence of God. But David had been there. David had been under the spout, Brother Chris, where the glory of God run out. David had been in the very presence of God. David knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. David knew what it was like to be on the battlefield and have a giant coming towards you that was going to devour you and rip you into pieces. But watch the hand of God destroy that giant. David knew what it was like to be out in the sheep field taking care of the sheep in the pasture and watch a lion and a bear come up against him and him devour the lion and the bear and rip it into pieces. David knew what it was like to be in the very presence of God. Miss Lisa, more than anything, David's concerned that he's never going to be in the presence of God again. That's what he tells us in verse 51. If you're a young person, listen to me. Look up in here. I ain't said bow your head and close your eyes. Look up in here, young people. Go sow your wild oats if you want to. If you really think you got to do that, go ahead. But you'll not stop God when His hand falls on you. You say, well, I'm going to live it up. And then one day I'll get right. You may, but you know what old David said? He said, these things are before me every day of my life. They go through my mind. I guarantee you, I don't mean to walk down memory's road and bring up anything bad in your past. And I'm not disrespecting you as one of the oldest people sitting in the church. I'm just going to use you for an example. I guarantee you, if we was to go way back yonder, there's some things you've done in your past you would to God you'd have never done. And there's probably not hardly a day that goes by the devil don't bring those things up. And say, well, how can you serve God if you've done this? How can you sing in the choir? How can you even be saved? That's what David's saying. Still in my mind. Still right here. I wish I could highlight 2 years. Oh, God, help us this morning. 2 years of my life. And hit that cut button. And it just be gone. But I can't. All those thoughts and all those scars roll back through my mind. Go ahead, live it up. But I promise you, the day will come that you would to God you'd have never done it. God won't stop you. But you won't stop God. When judgment falls, that's it. That's it. David prayed 7 different ones in Psalms. David said, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me." Psalms 32. Psalms 38 says, "My bones are filled with a lonesome disease." Many readers believe that David come down with some form of STD because of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. I believe that. He said, "My bones are filled with a lonesome disease." You can get right. God help us this morning. I know we ain't shouting and running like we was the past 3 nights, but God burnt this off deep down in my soul. Monday, going up the road in the church van. You can get right, but when the judgment hand of God falls, it don't matter how much you're going to church, it don't matter how close to God you are, the judgment hand of God's going to stay down until God gets done. David got right, but after he got right, his baby died. After he got right, his daughter got raped. After he got right, his son got killed by a son. After he got right, one of his mighty men that was the leader of his army killed his other son. After he got right, his other son got killed by his other son. On and on it goes. His son slept with all of his concubines. His daughter has no quality of life because she's been raped by her own brother. God won't stop you, but you won't stop God. Our Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I've tried my best to preach the preaching that You've bid us this morning. God, You know the need of the hour. Lord, I don't, but You do. God, no doubt You've burnt this off in my soul the first part of this week. God, I've tried to imagine in my mind how David felt when it came to him that Ahithophel was the one that led the rebellion of Absalom. God, how David felt when he found out Amnon had been raped, or that Tamar had been raped by Amnon. How he felt when he found out Amnon was killed by Absalom. Lord, we know how he felt when Absalom was killed by Joab. Lord, how he felt when Adonishah was killed by Solomon. How he felt when the word come to him that Ahithophel had hung himself. God, no doubt the thoughts went through his mind, "This is a result of the sins I committed." God, help us this morning. You know the need of the hour. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and nobody's